You're listening to the Inner Child Podcast.
I've seen a lot of people's progress at this point. I've been in the program and taking my time through it, and I've seen a lot of the progress, and it's really quite amazing. And yes, I can testify for myself. However, I've also seen it with other people, and I can truly say that this program and the way that you have it structured and what you have to offer has truly saved my life. I was in a dark place, and I was headed into a darker place, and I knew that. You were a beacon of light, and I put everything into you, but also into me to trust you and trust myself ultimately, which was the best thing I could have done for me. And I wouldn't have been able to do that without you. So I just want to make sure that everybody understands how powerful this work is.
Hello, besties, and welcome back to the Inner Child Podcast. We have another inspirational transformation story for you today in this client highlight, and you're going to meet just the most beautiful soul. This is the story of a woman who was so anxious and so insecure about her own body, about other women, about herself in relationships, to doing a complete 180, did the inner child work, and has transformed into someone who is aligned, who is confident, and feels secure in her relationships. Her name is Steph, and in today's episode, we talk a little bit about her journey from being anxiously attached to now becoming securely attached in relationships. It's just so moving and so beautiful, and I can't wait for you to hear this interview right after this intro. Hi, I'm Gloria Zhang, and after 10 years of struggling in toxic relationships, I attracted the love of my life by healing my inner child. This podcast is your weekly dose of my expertise as a therapist and dating relationship coach for high achievers. Learn tips to overcome low self-worth, emotional baggage, and childhood trauma so that you too can step into your power and attract the love you desire. Welcome to the Inner Child Podcast. Steph, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm doing great. And thank you, Gloria, for having me on. I'm excited to share more of what you do and the impact that it's had on me. So I appreciate that. And I am fresh off of a really good vacation. So I'm in a good headspace for this.
You guys should see she's got this fresh off the plane glow right now. You just went to Maui, right?
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. How was your girls' trip?
It was amazing. I can't even emphasize how that really was. And I would love to share why that is, because I'm not a girls' trip person. And in general, I've really struggled with my female relationships. And this was like one of the most beautiful experiences I've had.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to dig into that a little bit too. Before we get there, Steph, can you tell us a little bit about where you're from and who you are?
Yeah, so I live in the Pacific Northwest of the U.S. I'm 39 years old. I have an 18-year-old son. I've been in a relationship with my partner for about 3.5 years now and through this program. And I work at a maximum security prison. I'm the executive assistant there and the legal and public information officer. So a lot of hats.
Yeah. And now a yoga teacher too, right?
Yes, I do have my yoga teacher training, although that's been on pause, actually. Just kind of going through this program, my real focus has just been on my own healing and taking care of myself.
And you've had such an epic transformation, Steph. Before we get into the juicy bits, can you give us a little snapshot, even just speaking attachment style-wise, of, you know, what was the before and the after that you experienced during the time that I've known you?
I was looking back in some of my journaling because I was thinking, when did I start looking into the inner child? And it was actually attachment styles that brought me to that. And I was Googling different relationship styles, trying to figure out, like, why am I struggling so hard in this relationship? And, you know, we're very different. Maybe we're not compatible. And that brought me to the attachment styles. So I started looking into that. And then that brought me to your podcast. And I would say that was probably like early 2021 is when I started kind of digging into that. And I'm a textbook definition of the anxious attachment style. So that's where I started with the healing and come full circle to where I'm at now. I'm actually undoing that and becoming the secure attachment style and just little by little watching each of those bullet points of what makes you have the anxious attachment and watching those unravel and rebuilding into this secure attachment style. So it's still a work in progress, but seeing that shift has been pretty remarkable, and knowing that that's actually where it started. And that sort of feels like kind of the final piece of that puzzle.
I can't believe it's been like a year, like almost to the exact month it's been.
Yeah, I started the Soulmate program in December of last year. Over a year since I started listening to your podcast, looking into the inner child work and kind of skimming the surface, where there's always little nuggets, right? Like little nuggets of things that make sense, but how does it all come together? And that's what the program has helped me figure out.
I love this so much because there are so many different kinds of relationships, and you know this as well. Some people through the work end up leaving their relationships, and others actually learn to repair their relationships. And for you, it's been the latter. What was it like getting to the point of thinking that this might end? I'm just curious about the whole process. I know personally how difficult it is working through challenges that just keep coming up over and over in the relationship, especially if you have that conditioning from the past that things just don't work out. And I'm just wondering, what was that shift like for you from maybe sabotage to now, okay, I'm going to sit with the feelings and maybe this is something I can salvage?
Yeah, that's been the theme of all of it. And looking back, especially going through some of the dating modules and some of the exercises with that, because I wasn't in the space where I was starting out dating, I still applied all of those techniques and principles and looked at my relationship as, what if it was starting right now? Where am I? And I realized at a certain point, I would not be ready to date. If I was on my own, I would not be ready. Why am I expecting that I'm going to be able to carry this serious, committed relationship? And there were so many moments throughout the time that we've been together, and even through this whole program, where it was so touch and go. Basically, the fact that it's been touch and go, that I've had to learn how to become secure and independent, which I had never been. So that's a part of the moving out on my own that was a huge major piece. And that I did that right before I joined the program. And that was because I knew I was going to need the space to go through everything that I would have to go through. I knew it was going to be hard. I knew I was going to have to fall apart. And I knew that our relationship was not strong enough necessarily to nurture that. And so I had to put some separation in there, and I had to allow for the space to do that. Fast forward to even more recently, we're still not in the clear by any means. The biggest thing I've been working on is not creating conflict out of projecting my own feelings. Now, I've been able to identify why that happens and where it comes from, but I can now process it on my own. I don't need for my partner to fix those wounds and to heal that part of me, because I know that I can do it on my own now. So really, it's being very patient with all of the process, knowing he's not going anywhere. He's been here the whole time, no matter how much I tried to push that away, or like you said, sabotage, no matter how many times I tried to make the decision for both of us that it just wasn't going to work. He's been an example of security and stability and independence. And I admire and respect him so much for being there and for being that good example for me. And I really know what that means to be co-regulated. And I have never experienced that before.
I see that smile on your face as you're talking about that. I love that. Can I just say, Steph, we'll talk more about this as well, but you've truly been through so much. And I'll just be very candid with you. The degree that you have been willing to just allow things to fall apart and taking that leap of faith, moving out, knowing that this was going to be probably some of the hardest work of your life, it has been such an honor to witness, Steph, truly. It's been so incredible. The strength that you have shown, even when during times where you may have felt there was no strength left, right? Except maybe that little whisper of a voice that, okay, there's still something here. Like there's still that little glimmer of hope. I think it's so hard to put into words, but I just want you to know that it's your strength and determination. We've seen that throughout the whole process.
Oh, thank you, Gloria. That means a lot. And that is something I have actually been able to see in myself and lean into. When I know there's more, when I know that there's a reason, when I have a purpose, I don't really want to give up ever. And that's been
my achievers.
Yeah, totally. It's,
yes,
that's 100% what it is. Knowing that there's more to it, and, you know, to be honest, when I started the program, I was very desperate at that point. I was going through a grieving process and I didn't know how to grieve. I was completely lost, broken. My next choice would have been probably starting some sort of an antidepressant or anti-anxiety because I just didn't want to feel how I was feeling anymore. I definitely felt broken. I felt like I had no other choices. Everything was bigger than my body. It was all bigger than me. I couldn't do it anymore. I was exhausted. Everything felt terrible. But somewhere in me, I knew that it was in my power. I knew that it was deeper. I just had to be willing to go deeper within. And I needed the structure and I needed the direction. That's really what I needed. Like I could take little pieces and go, yeah, I feel this, this, and that. I can relate it to this, this, and that in my life or in my childhood. I see these patterns. What do I do with all of this? And I'm so grateful that I took that leap. And a lot of that was you. And, you know, I just knew there was more to the story. And I think I had to be willing to go deep and I had to be willing to let it hurt. And fear is one of the biggest things that I realized I've lived with. And I wasn't going to let that decide for me. And so that's kind of where all of that has come from. And if I'm going to go, I'm going to go full in. So I hope that I have, even when that means taking a break and just letting things fall into place.
Absolutely. Sometimes that high achiever, that stubbornness, it saved us in many instances, right? Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people, they call it the dark night of the soul. I think you've captured it very well. It's those rock bottom moments where it just feels like you've given everything you can give. There's nothing left except for that last ember of a flame. And it's so courageous to reach in and do what you need to do, even in those moments. I'm just wondering, what advice might you give to those listening who might be in that dark night of the soul or feeling really hopeless?
I mean, one, you're not alone. I think a lot of people get there and a lot of people don't want to stay there. You know, that's where you mask it with substances or you stay busy or whatever the choice is to kind of keep you from feeling those things. But sometimes you have to, and that is the rock bottom, whether that's some kind of trauma, whether that's a loss, whether, you know, it always seems to take some big event to know that that's where you have to start. And for people to feel like there's no hope or they've tried everything, I would challenge that and say, but have you tried inner child healing, true inner child healing? When I first started, I ended up buying a journal and doing some of the exercises. It wasn't enough. It kind of helped direct me into some of the things I needed to look at, but it wasn't enough. And whenever we say like, oh, I've done it all, there's always at least one more thing that you can try. And when you keep following that path, eventually it leads you to what's really going to work, but you have to want that. You know, there's some part of you that really has to want that. So I think when you live in pain and you live in fear, even though that's so harmful, it's familiar. And there's still comfort in what's familiar. And I lived that way for so long and having to break apart from that, which I'm still doing in a lot of ways, but you end up having a dependence on those feelings because it's what you know, which is why you create the scenarios to keep going through that again, keep bringing up those emotions because, oh, okay, it's still there. I hate it, but it's there. And I can count on that even though it's tearing me apart. So you kind of have to be willing to do what's unknown and do what's scary. And then allow it to happen. If anybody even has a glimmer of that, like you said, there's like that little ember, that's enough,
yeah.
Right? Like an ember can start a fire. So it's enough, but you have to feed it. You have to build it.
It's taking me back to the old days.
Yeah.
And speaking of familiar stuff, can you tell us a little bit about what it was like for you growing up and maybe how you put those pieces together to how it got you into certain relationship situations?
Yeah. So growing up for me, and I've done a little bit of like EMDR work and things to tap into some of those earlier, especially the pre-verbal memories, is where a lot of my wounding comes from. So in my very, very early years, I was born into domestic violence, alcoholism, a lot of chaos and conflict just in my first couple of years of life. And even while my mom was pregnant with me, I was experiencing that. And so all of her pain and fear, like I pretty much was born holding on to that. And I don't have clear memories. I have visions and I have kind of intuitive hits of what it was like. And, you know, definitely abandonment wound, neglect. And then growing up, it just kind of continued to be a lot of chaos and conflict that I was always a witness to. I was an isolator. So I would go be by myself in whatever aspect. And just continuing on, I was always very emotionally all over the place. I mean, I could be great one minute and then I'd be just upset and sad and mad. And I was not a good kid in those moments. I was shamed or put down or, well, why are you like this? And that was how I developed that belief about myself. You know, I'm not lovable unless I'm being good. If I'm upset about something, then I'm a bad kid. And I carried that throughout my whole life. When it comes to relationships, we have an exercise where we do the relationship audit tool. And I remember looking at that and I was having such a hard time noticing the patterns, because even like my more serious boyfriends in high school and then my son's dad, I was married and in that relationship for about 13 years, they were all so different. And so I was trying to figure out, like, man, it's not really clear to me. And then to my current partner, like, all very different. The one thing that stayed the same was my reaction to the relationship and what I was trying to get out of it and not receiving, because most of the time I was resisting it anyways. As it turns out, I believe that I was the toxic partner. You know, I was the one who would explode and cause these fights and cause problems that maybe weren't there. And despite being codependent, I mean, I had all the things, like all the things, you know, addicted to chaos, codependent, anxious attachment, like you stack it all up. And I think I just wanted to be loved so bad and cared for, especially in my bad moments, because that takes me back to my childhood. But I also wouldn't allow it. I also rejected it if it came. So it was kind of this revolving door, impossible situation. So the partners that I were with were not the same, but I was doing the same thing in every relationship. I had to really look at that. But that has allowed me to look at myself and be accountable and take responsibility and go, oh, okay, I can change these things for me. And that also took learning how to love myself and learning how to trust myself. All these things that I've never felt in myself, I've been projecting into my relationships. And then just to go kind of back to my childhood. So my mom had been remarried a couple times. And when I was 5 years old, she married my stepdad, who was the dad that raised me ultimately. And he was able to give me that love, attention. We had a very special bond. He made me always feel really special and important and cared for. And he was proud of me. And I think I had always been expecting to find that in my male relationships. And my male relationships were always very codependent, even with my son as I raised him. And so that's more the patterns that I noticed is how I was showing up, not necessarily that the partners were the same.
Yes. People have a love-hate relationship with that relationship audit tool. It was so uncomfortable when I first did it because you're kind of forced to see, you know, it's like, oh, I can't just hide it in my head. I have to look at it on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. Like, it can be quite hard, but you broach it with such grace, Steph. I think your story is such a great example of why the patterns are so important, right? Because it's not necessarily always that we're bringing in the wrong person, but it's really just that we're either choosing the wrong person or behaving in a way that is just reinforcing these patterns. And that's the most important piece there. So thank you for sharing that. I know we mentioned at the beginning that you've also gone through quite a transformation, not just in your romantic relationship, but with the women relationships in your life. You know, I just binged watch Selling the OC, like the super, really, you know, it was just like catfighting the whole thing. And it gave me anxiety watching it. And I think some women do experience a lot of tension with female relationships and the jealousy that can be involved in those. Yeah, I'd love to hear your experience and where it's taken you now.
Yeah, so that's been interesting. And that I think I've been able to tie pretty heavily to just mother wounding and that initial perception you have of women in general. And I always had a harder time connecting with women for whatever reason. I was always in sports. I was always in group activities, but I only ever had one or two close females and they kind of had to exude a specific type. That's what I was comfortable and felt safe with. I think my general perception is that I didn't trust women. I thought there was always ulterior motives or some sort of a manipulation happening. And I can't exactly pinpoint when or why, but I just know that that's been my general perception and I've been fine with that. So I just have never really been that close with a lot of women. Part of my healing process with some of my mother wounding is like, maybe I need to broaden this picture and sort of challenge myself to open up to these feminine, you know, the feminine and see how that feels. What's that going to bring out in me? And then the other piece that fed into that is also such a high level of insecurity within myself. you know, every woman was a threat. If it was someone who I deemed to be attractive, that was a threat to me. And that was not only with my partners. This was happening when I was by myself, like going in the grocery store or passing someone in traffic. Like, why am I noticing people in the car? Like, what is going on that I'm on such high alert for these threats? And so that sort of inspired me to look deeper and open up to that. Every time, I think when you're really afraid of something, that is a signal that there's something there to either heal or grow from. And so I was like, okay, let me just open up. And a lot of relationships start to fall away just this last spring, meaning I just wasn't nourishing them. I wasn't reaching out. I just was kind of letting myself go a little bit dormant and seeing what happened. I was focusing and I was curious to see what would I then attract? Would I make new friends? Would I do something? And as people started coming back into my life, and it was mostly women, you know, my relationship with my older sister got really way stronger just in the last few months or the last year. My stepdaughter that I had with my ex-husband, we have had some really beautiful moments in the last couple months. My best friend, who I had posted like, oh, I'm so jealous of her. And I realized like I've had all this jealousy for my whole life because I just admire her so much. But, you know, I had to turn that around. And I think it was Coach Ashton who said, sometimes you turn it around to where you talk about what you admire about them and put the positive in. So I kind of had to change my thought process a little bit. And in doing so, like this trip that we just took, which was my sister and a couple of her best friends, one of them I've known for a really long time, and we've had a good connection, but they live in another state, so I don't see them all the time. Normally, I would have been super intimidated, wouldn't probably have even agreed to go. If I did, I'd have been really anxious the whole time and more than likely not having a good time and just sort of closing in on myself and trying to show that I was okay or that I was having fun. This experience was amazing. Like, such beautiful conversations about experiences like this, that you can't always connect with people on that kind of heart and soul level. And that was happening in just the laughter. It was easy. It was four women. Like, we didn't have any problems with planning what we were going to do for the days. It was so much fun. Everybody had opportunities to have their own space, and that was okay. Like, everybody could hold space for the other person. And so for me, it was just showing me that, no, you can connect with women. You can embrace that part of you too. You can be that woman for other females. And so through all of that, that's been just really cool to see. That's been cool to see and know that that's a possibility, because prior to it wouldn't have been a possibility.
Oh, that's so wonderful. I feel so emotional hearing about this, because it feels like it was almost like this unexpected side effect of doing inner child work. And it sounds like you had such a beautiful, like, magical bonding experience. I remember, I think it was us that we spoke about this when we were addressing this jealousy, because I used to experience that too. And I think I mentioned to you that I used to even get jealous when my partners would look at like a stick figure of a woman or something, and I would feel insecure. Yeah. Right? And so that would, obviously that would tell you, okay, maybe it's not about the other people. Maybe it's something internal that's going on here. So I just thought that was funny.
Yeah. I have to say that the inner child work for me, I guess I'm not the story that other people are telling, where yes, I'm working through a relationship while in it, but I have applied this work to every aspect of my life. So even my physical health, you know, I just am like, okay, what else can this for? Because it's such beautiful work. And what it comes down to is just really connecting to parts of yourself that you've forgotten about, you know, and that's the self-abandonment piece as well. And so really, I've found the ways that I can apply it to any aspect of my life where I feel like I'm struggling or that I've been neglecting. This is just another part.
Yeah. The body piece, right? Tell us about how you applied the inner child work to that, because that was really interesting.
Yeah, that was a fun one. I think most people in our program, and I know that you have this history, but I think there's a lot of physical ailments that happen when you're struggling so hard emotionally. And for me, it was definitely digestive and has been for a very long time. And I had even developed autoimmune conditions, and there was just so much my body wasn't able to detox certain things. And so I could get really sick if I had too much caffeine or sugar or alcohol or, you know, anything. It was just very sensitive. And when I look at my emotional state, it perfectly mirrors. I mean, it's exactly the same, holding on to things, not being able to let stuff go. And I had decided one day that I was working through some insecurity, and I was thinking it was all my physical appearance that I was feeling so insecure about. And what I realized is, no, I was actually doing more damage by believing that, oh, I can't eat that. It's going to make me sick. And like, oh, I'm just broken. Again, I was saying, I'm, you know, basically my body's broken. It just doesn't work right. And I kept having this inner dialogue unconsciously. I wasn't realizing it. And so I was like, well, wait a second. If I'm just sitting there talking to my body like that, because, you know, we say like, would you talk to you as an inner child the way that you talk to yourself now? Well, I was like, well, why am I talking to my body like that? Like, it has nothing to do with my physical. I'm believing internally that my body doesn't work. I've always had the belly pooch, and that just has to do with probably the digestive bloating, whatever, whatever. Well, I had realized that I've been holding my stomach in for years, like decades, probably over 10 years to try and pull that little pooch in. And yeah. How tense. Right? Yeah. Like to just physically be holding my body like that all the time. And then wearing clothes so that it looks like it's a flat stomach, you know, just doing these things that I didn't put together. And when I realized that, I was like, oh yeah, of course my body's pissed off and feeling stressed out and tense because I'm actually holding it in that way. So I stopped doing that. I started wearing clothes that were a little looser and more comfortable so that I could let my body be and let it breathe. And I was okay with that. All of a sudden I felt better and I feel stronger in my body. And I started doing exercise that was more strength building, not trying to look lean or do this or that. And I feel so much better. Even eating, like taking the time to stop and tell my body, hey, take everything that you need from this food, like all these nutrients, this is for you. Let go of what you don't need. Just kind of talking through the way that I would if I was doing inner child work. And so
free the pooch.
Yeah.
Free the pooch.
Exactly.
Yes. I love that.
It's so true. So anyway, it's a silly thing, or it seems like a silly thing, but it worked. And it's just changing that mindset. And again, like just learning how to love yourself. And for me, physically loving my body, but it's just made a world of difference of how I feel and how connected I actually feel now to my body, and that I can just be myself and not have to be thinking and preoccupied with those things.
Yeah. Oh, that's just incredible. I mean, I'm not surprised at all that this layer came a little bit after the other ones, because it feels a bit more personal in some way, right? I mean, aren't bodies so weird? It's like we just wake up in the morning and we can like operate all these little digits and fingers, yeah. Right? It's such a trippy experience. And then you're right, like as we go through life, we start picking up all of these distorted beliefs about our bodies, which is really the greatest gift that we have, is having this vehicle to maneuver around the world. And for you to rediscover your relationship to your body in such a beautiful way has just been such a joy to see, Steph. I love the way that you described it. And yeah, you've literally set yourself free, right? Wearing clothing that you feel like expresses that relationship better between you and the body and the pooch. Yeah. I got one too. It's cool. Okay. It's called a stomach. Okay. Yeah. It's there for a reason. And I just love how you've embraced it. How do you like to speak to your body now?
You know, I think not so much as even speaking to my body, but just not negatively speaking to my body. For me, actually, just taking a little less even acknowledgement has been helpful, just to let it be and just know that I feel good. In general, I'm a very healthy person. Like, health is really important to me. So I don't really eat a lot of junk food, but I will. And I'm not going to feel bad about it. Like, if it's that time of the month and I need ice cream, well, I'm going to have it and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to sit and overthink it and wonder if I'm going to feel bad the next day. I'm just going to enjoy it. And a part of that is also allowing my inner child to have that experience too. And so it ends up going hand in hand. And so for me, if I find a negative mindset, I can quickly turn it around and be loving instead. But it's more just making sure I just feel comfortable and that I feel good. And if I don't, then what do I need to do to change that? If I wear something and I'm like, ugh, like shoulders are tight. Like, sure, it's cute, but I'm going to be like messing with it all day. Do I really want to do that? Because then I'm just putting focus on what is not feeling good throughout the day, rather than right. going, oh, I don't even want to worry about that. I just want to be comfortable so I don't have to think about it. One less thing to be hypervigilant of.
Yeah, that's so true. We have somewhat parallel experiences. I think mine's related to COVID coming to an end, where I'm starting to be interested in clothes and stuff again and really approaching with a lot of fun. Recently, I'm just like, I want to feel like a princess. And I just bought a bunch of these beautiful dresses that I normally would never wear. And I think clothing, it can seem like such a superficial thing, but it's stuff we put on our bodies, right? And we maneuver the world through it. And it really is a great way to express yourself. So kudos to you for figuring that piece out.
Yeah, thank you. I noticed it a lot being in Maui, how sensory I've become and how certain smells and like taste, like I'm willing to put more into that because it feels so good. And so that's been kind of one of my newer things, like really, really good candles, really good essential oil type body rolls and things like that, that I've really been enjoying that just bring peace. Yeah. And there were exercises that we did for things like that. And it didn't resonate as much as it does now, probably because I'm in a space where I can actually start letting things feel good.
Exactly. Yeah. The letting things in. And I mean, the candles, it's actually so simple, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Right? When you kind of boil it down, it really is just about learning to fall in love with life again and be present in your senses.
Yeah.
Something can be so complex and so simple at the same time, which, you know, blows my mind. I'm curious, we were talking about the way that your relationships have changed, even with the feminine. And we definitely have a lot of women inside the soulmate community. What was it like, you know, being surrounded by that many women going on this journey?
That was actually okay. I had that thought at some point, like, interesting, I don't feel overwhelmed by this. But I did notice there were times where if I would speak up in group, I would immediately, like afterwards, be like, oh, why did I say that? You know, or question like, nobody asked me for my opinion type of thing. But that's just the belief that I always had where nobody cares what I have to say. Mm. And so that was my own thought process. But I think being a part of the community, like you said, where it's primarily women, was probably a catalyst, I think, into being more open to that. The other piece of it that feels more protective is that through the group calls and through the chats, I can connect still on a bit of a surface level with people. Like, yeah, we're sharing and we're being really vulnerable, but it's not intimate in my day to day. So I think that on that level, that's a little easier for me because I can form work relationships, but it's the closeness that was always very scary with women. I've been able to open up to several members of the community and felt good about that because it was a source of, hey, you're not alone, or oh my gosh, I feel the same thing. Like, so much support in that. And I'm sure looking back, that's been a major component of why I feel okay receiving some support now, or being open to that and trusting that if I open up to another woman, it's not going to somehow backfire. So I'm sure that that's a huge catalyst in why I can still be open to that now.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. Sometimes we need those initial encounters to be more positive, right? Really to build some confidence around it. Mm-hmm. And it's a very lovely community because we're all kind of in the same boat, right? Yeah. We all have similar life experiences, childhood experiences, and that's wonderful. Well, Steph, what are you working on next? You know, it's like inner child work check.
Yeah.
What feels like the next thing on your journey?
Yeah, you know, I'm in such a fun place right now because my son is grown and on his own. I kind of feel like I'm in this 3.5 year relationship that feels like it's just starting, which it's kind of mm-hmm. like we got through all the yuck in the first few years. Where yeah. Normally you hit that at like 5 years. So yeah. I feel like I kind of did that. And now I'm able to come at it from a way more secure perspective. And I've noticed that even just looking at my relationship, I have a different objective now. It's not about fill my needs. It's not like, well, I need commitment, so I feel secure. It's not this. It's me actually starting to feel secure, being able to just let it be. So like, I think about what's next. I mean, anything, you know, it's wide open. But what I'm really ready for, because I've never had it, is I'm kind of ready to just settle for a little bit, like settle into the job I have, which is an awesome job. I love it. I'm happy. You know, it's something I can settle into for a while and really take ownership of. It's an amazing, creative, such a fun time in my career. And then my relationship, like learning how to be in a healthy relationship, I can do that. but I don't need that to be the most important thing in my life. And now it's not. Whereas before, my relationship was everything. It was how I made my decisions day to day. You know, I've got really fun dreams of like a food truck. Wow. I want to start so that I can go to concerts.
I know.
Love that. I wanted to do this forever.
Yeah.
Like, I really want to go to concerts and festivals. So like just pick and choose when and where I'd want to do that because it's a fun environment and it's different. And other than that, just really continuing on this journey because as we know, the work is never done. It's a continuation. And for me, just still really just focusing on what I need and who I am and what does my life look like for me when I'm putting me first, because that's brand new. And so I kind of feel like this part of my life is just starting and it's coming from a good, secure, healthy place. So anything's possible. I don't have any immediate plans on my journey. Just I'd like to continue with some of my yoga training and just get a little bit deeper into the certification. There's so much to learn. I love learning. So that's going to be a piece of it. And who knows, maybe make Instagram reels. Maybe, I don't know. I'm a very creative person.
We should do a duo.
Yeah, that would be fun.
You can join me in my dancing.
Yeah, there you go. Just do clips of everybody busting moves. That's what we really do during inner child healing.
Exactly. Yeah, I have a bunch of silly reels and I feel like sometimes they're so different from the more serious podcasts. I wonder what people think, but it's actually a lot of fun.
I love that.
Thank you. And honestly, I can't emphasize enough how much of a 180 you've done in just this year, Steph. I think looking back, it's just incredible. And you put so much work into it. I think coming from feeling so broken to a place now where you don't even feel the need to make all of these plans and you're just taking it day by day and really enjoying life. It's just so inspiring and it makes my heart so happy. Yeah, I just wanted you to know that.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Of course. So I know we're coming to the end of our wonderful conversation today, although we could keep talking for hours, I'm sure. I like to ask this question sometimes to folks. Number one, if you could put anything on a billboard for people to see, what would you put?
Gosh, a billboard for everyone to see. Oh, that's a hard one. But you put things on a billboard, people see it, but it's not necessarily going to resonate unless they're ready to hear it. But I think what everything kind of comes down to and what I've learned through all the different things I've tried and just through childhood and life, just love yourself. I don't think anything works until you do that.
Yeah. The intention behind the work we do is so important. I love that. All right. I'm going to go put that on the billboard right now.
On a billboard. I know. What would you put on there?
Honestly, as soon as I asked you that, I thought, wow, I don't even know how I would answer that question. Why would I put on a billboard? You know, one of the first phrases that I actually ever heard around inner child work was actually that grown-ups are just little kids running around in adult bodies. And I don't know if I read that in a book or if it was like a TED talk or something, but the place that I was in at that time, it made me well up with tears right away. Like there was something, it was so simple, but it held so much truth to it that I immediately felt like I already understood it. And so I would put that on a quote if that would make anyone else's journey, you know, easier. Yeah. Thanks for throwing that one back at me. Well, Steph, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much again for agreeing to come on. And this was wonderful. Thank you.
Of course. And thank you. And just thank you for all the work that you've done. I've seen a lot of people's progress at this point. I've been in the program and taking my time through it. And I've seen a lot of the progress. And it's really quite amazing. And yes, I can testify for myself. However, I've also seen it with other people. And I can truly say that this program and the way that you have it structured and what you have to offer has truly saved my life. I was in a dark place and I was headed into a darker place. And I knew that you were a beacon of light and I put everything into you, but also into me to trust you and trust myself ultimately, which was the best thing I could have done for me. And I wouldn't have been able to do that without you. So I just want to make sure that everybody understands how powerful this work is.
Steph, thank you for choosing to trust me. And I'm going to cry. Try not to cry. I'm not paying Steph to say this, by the way. No. Just want to throw that out there too.
Definitely not.
It really does mean a lot. Honestly, as a coach, I think my greatest joy is really just seeing how much you guys have come along. And yeah, it fills me with pride. So thanks again, Steph.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hello, my loves. That was the amazing interview with the beautiful Steph. I hope you feel so inspired and so hopeful about what is possible for you. And I want to share a free resource for you in case what Steph is talking about are things that you are wanting to work on in your life. If you want to learn how to become more secure in your relationships, to stop self-sabotaging love and to attract healthier partners into your life, I've got a free workshop where I go over the 3-step process, the heal, feel, and attract system that I use with all of my clients to help them get results in their relationships. It's a free workshop, as I mentioned, comes with an amazing 10-page workbook, I think, that comes with the workshop. It's 60 minutes long. It is fantastic. Hundreds of folks have gone through it already. If you want to register for free, just go to buygloriazank.com/workshop or click on one of the links in my show notes. And you're going to have a blast. There's tons of information in there and it's just so, so good. Now, if you want to take it a step further and maybe you would like to work with me or join one of my programs, you can book a free call to learn more about Situationship to Soulmate, which is my 12-week experience to help you develop a secure attachment style by healing your inner child. This is for high achievers who really desire an extraordinary and secure relationships. If you struggle in a current relationship or with dating, we help you with all of that. Or if you want to work more closely, you might be interested in my Abundance Inner Circle high-level mentorship that is coming out soon. Just head over to buygloriazang.com to my website to check out the details or ask any questions. And there's a link in the show notes below. Otherwise, I hope you thoroughly enjoyed this episode. I will catch you on the social medias in the meantime, and I'll see you here back again next week for a brand new episode. Have a beautiful day and a beautiful life full of abundance and love. Mwah. Bye for now. If you love this episode, please hit subscribe and give us a 5-star review. It really helps me a lot, so thank you. To join the community and get your daily dose of inner child tips, follow me on Instagram and social media at @bygloriazang or visit bygloriazang.com. If you're a high achiever or entrepreneur who wants to work with me, message me the words high achiever and I'll get in touch. Thanks, bestie. See you in the next one. Thanks for tuning in, bestie. I've got something for you. If you think this show deserves a 5-star review, we'll send you my free Inner Child Starter Kit as a thank you for your support, which contains exclusive wallpapers and resources for you to download. To get your kit, just upload a screenshot of your review on Apple or Spotify to my webpage, bygloriazang.com/reviews. The link is also in the show notes. There you can also check out my healing sessions and programs at bygloriazang.com. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast and I will meet you in the next episode. Mwah!